I'm Jeb Sharp, and this is The World. After you collect your cans and bottles and put them out by the curb for recycling, do you ever think about where they go after the truck picks them up? A lot of our recycling gets shipped overseas. Most of it goes to China, or it used to. Starting today, China is enforcing new regulations that will affect our recycling here. Joining me now is The World's Jason Margolis. Jason, so how much of our stuff does go to China now?
Well, let me paint a visual for you. Every day, close to 4,000 shipping containers filled with recyclables leave U.S. ports for China. So China sends us toys, they send us clothes, whatever. And one of our largest exports back to them, cans, bottles, and paper.
So what's changing?
The new policy China is enacting is called National Sword, and it bans various plastics. And it also sets a much tougher bar for the contamination levels for paper. So what that means is when we send off our bundles of paper to China, sometimes there's junk that's mixed in. Someone puts in their pizza box and it's greasy. They can't recycle that. So that is contaminated material. So China has now set a very high bar, saying only 0.5% of that paper can be contaminated. That's a very high bar.
And what is driving this new strict approach?
Well, China is tired of being the world's garbage dump. So 5 years ago, they enacted a policy called the Green Fence, and that set some more rigid standards. And this is just ratcheting things up. China's saying, we don't want to be dirty and contaminated by your stuff anymore.
And this starts today.
This starts today.
So we're going to hear now about what's happening in China because of this, and then we're going to come back to you, Jason, to hear more about how this policy is affecting us here in the U.S. We begin on the outskirts of Shanghai with our BBC colleague, Robin Brandt.
These children are crouching on a riverbank, picking up dead fish amid plastic bottles and bags. China has become a much richer but much dirtier country. It's blighted by homemade pollution and contamination on a vast scale. The government claims some foreign waste is dangerous, and the last thing this country needs is even more of that. Wang Wang is from the China Scrap Plastics Association.
China's ban is putting the onus back on all the waste exporting countries. You need to shoulder the responsibility of disposing your own waste and your own sources of pollution.
The ban presents a problem for China, though. It needs the paper, the cardboard, the clean, high-quality polystyrene that's simple to ship to this country and simple to turn into something you can then sell. This is an industrial chipper. It disintegrates polystyrene, tons of it. The business on the outskirts of Shanghai ships them, chips them, heats them, and then turns them into something to sell back to you. In a nutshell, it's pretty simple what they do here. They take this, a bit of polystyrene. It's compressed and sent here to China, and then they turn it into this. These are little green pellets of plastic about the size of half a peanut, and then eventually it's molded into this, photo frames.
This is a core components, all German.
And it cuts it, and then it comes out.
Yes, coming out.
But China's ban means the boss is going to have to send his UK waste elsewhere. Frank Liu said it will hit his supply.
Some people in China are very angry about importing of recycled plastic. But just keep the factory running. We need about 50,000 tons of recycled plastics. When you only recycle China, is not enough.
The ban on foreign waste will hurt some business here, but the government's view is tough. Delivering a cleaner China is paramount for the Communist Party politicians. A green revolution, you might call it.
The BBC's Robin Brandt there. He mentioned that China's new ban will have an impact in the UK. I'm back with Jason Margolis. And Jason, you say it's also already having an impact here in the United States.
Yeah, that's right. I saw this recently firsthand when I drove out to Westboro, Massachusetts. That's about 45 minutes west of Boston here. And I met with Ben Harvey, president of E.L. Harvey & Sons. He's fourth generation in the waste and recycling business. We stood in his parking lot staring at mountains of bundled paper.
We're looking at about 150 to 200 tractor-trailer loads of paper. It's stacked approximately 12 feet high, and it goes for quite a distance.
And so with this is not normal.
No, our business is to bring it in, process it, and move it out as quickly as we can.
Harvey can't sell these 2,000-pound bales because the contamination levels, the extra trash that's accidentally mixed in, almost certainly exceeds China's rigorous new standards. He's hoping that China can work out a deal with the U.S., or he can find other processing mills in Vietnam or Thailand. As for the U.S., that's simply not a short-term option.
Because everything was going offshore, the mills have been slow to develop in the United States to handle this material. With the tightness in the marketplace, there might be mills that will be built, but that takes 4 to 5 to 6 years to put in a mill that will handle the capacity that we're currently looking at.
In the meantime, he grows increasingly concerned as the bales of paper take over more and more of his parking lot.
If this stuff doesn't move and we don't know what to do with it, we can't keep it forever. At some point, it's going to start to degrade. So the other thing that could happen is if we can't find outlets, and I'm not talking about just E.L. Harvey & Sons, I'm talking about the industry as a whole, we're going to stop bringing material into our facilities, and that's going to impact recycling programs throughout the country.
So what does that mean for me? If I live in Westboro, you're just going to stop collecting my recycling?
That could happen.
This is not a little disruption. You know, this is a big disruption to a bigger industry than most people would think it is, because it's sort of an invisible process.
That's Susan Collins, president of the Container Recycling Institute, a research organization based in Southern California. She says China's crackdown presents something between a challenge and a crisis for U.S. recyclers.
We've already put things on ships that may be coming back. The U.S. recycling industry has asked for some relaxation of the rules, but there are sort of ongoing negotiations right now that in the hopes of making this not quite as drastic a move.
She says U.S. recyclers are willing to adjust, but they need time, and so do you and I. American consumers are making it hard on recycling collectors like Ben Harvey. Again, China's new policy will only allow paper with a 0.5% contamination. Harvey says he can't come anywhere close to that. Inside his plant, streams of cans, bottles, and paper roll by on conveyor belts. A machine sorts things first, then workers do a second manual sort. Along with bottles and cans, they're picking out a lot of trash. About 15% of the recycling he collects is unusable.
Yeah, we call it wishful recycling. The general public says, hey, let's put it in the recycling barrel. You know, they'll figure something to do with it.
His machines and workers do the best they can, but the end product is still far too contaminated to meet China's new standards. Harvey estimates that he can keep storing bales of paper in his parking lot for another 3 to 6 months. If a solution isn't found by then, it could mean shuttering the plant and layoffs. And that could also mean sending bottles, cans, and paper straight to the landfill. For The World, Jason Margolis, Westboro, Massachusetts.